Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Part of what drives my coaching career, and by extension this podcast, is to provide hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. I believe that there is tremendous power in choice. We are confronted with choices from the time we wake up in the morning until the time our heads hit the pillow at the end of the day. Will I choose to believe in possibilities for myself? Or will I choose to believe in my limitations? Will I choose courage? Or will I choose fear? Will I choose to listen to those who believe in me? Or will I choose to listen to those who doubt me and tell me that I'm not good enough? Will I choose to do the work that I know that I need to do in order to move towards my desired future? And will I choose that consistently, every day, not just once or not just for a couple of weeks, but every day for the long haul? I spent about 10 years of my life recovering from an illness that one doctor said I only had a 3% chance of recovering. And here's what I learned. I had to choose possibilities. Even when I wasn't even fully sure of what those could be, I had to choose courage. I had to choose to listen to those who believed that I would recover. And I had to do the tedious, grinding work that, at the beginning, seemed so bleak and so far away from any sort of desirable future. But I knew one truth. If I did nothing, nothing would change. And at least I was going to give myself a chance at a desirable future. This podcast was created to help you make the choices that will propel you towards your desired future. So what are we waiting for? Let's get to this week's episode. My guest today is an Ayurvedic wellness counselor, personal trainer, yoga teacher, and a Wild Woman Project Circle leader. Her mission is to help women slow down, tune in, and connect to their divine body wisdom. She is the host of the Peaceful Power podcast, where she delivers actionable takeaways to live a more holistic lifestyle. Her name is Andrea Clausen, and I think that you'll enjoy meeting her. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very excited to be here today.
I'm excited to talk more too. You know, I'm a former Midwesterner, so we have that kind of connection. We also have a connection, some similarities in our stories, some of the challenges that we face. So do you want to dive in and kind of share your story?
Yeah. So my story started really in my mid to late 20s. I started working at a soccer academy, and basically it was my full-time job. Well, then I also decided to start my own business. And so I now had that kind of dual layer, plus I was coaching basketball. So I was working, Sunday through Monday, like there was no rest days. And so for myself, like I was just go, go, go. I remember I had a friend come over and she was like, "You wrote clipping your fingernails on your to-do list." And I'm like, yes. Like I just didn't have time for anything. Like there's no self-care in this day. And so it was like from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. It was just scheduled. And a lot of it was because, in hindsight, I'm like, it's because I just didn't want to spend time alone. This was before I was married and I had my son, but I just didn't want to have any alone time because I was afraid of like what would come up. And So I just packed my schedule, packed it with more jobs. Like, could I pick up a random, let me teach this fitness class just to add it to my day because I had a free hour on a Friday. So what happened after all of this, and I was doing that for probably 5 years. And then all of a sudden it kind of came to a head when my business started taking off and I was working even more, with my business side. And then every Friday night at the soccer academy that I worked at, I would be in the bathroom throwing up. Like my body just had had enough. And it was my body's way of telling me, hello, put the brakes on. And So I would be laying on the floor. And now the guy who ran the company, and it was a small business, he'd be like, "All right, get up. Come on. You got to go coach." Like he had no empathy for me. It was like, let's go.
Oh my goodness.
And so I kind of was like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and this is going on. One of my coworkers is like, this is not okay. And I'm pretty sure he talked to my boss. And so he ended up, you know, pulling me into the office and he said, look, like your health is taking a toll here. Like it's either you're going to stay with, you know, my business, my company, or you need to switch and do your business full time. Cause he's like, I can't look at you. You know, I'm in 28 at the time. He's like, I'm destroying your health. And so he decided, you know, which one do you want to choose? And I picked my business. And that's when I kind of started to transform and change. And, you know, I got to have, let's not work 40 hours a week. Let's see what it like. Well, running your own business at the start, it is about 40 to 60 hours,
that's
but it's
right.
Stuff that you love. And it's not on top of a full-time job. And so that's kind of when I started to see what else is out there. Like, how else can I nourish myself? And so I went to this yoga retreat in Costa Rica and the teacher there had said, oh, you're a pitta. And I said, what is a pitta? And so in Ayurveda, they have three doshas. And so a pitta is kind of the go-getter, the type A, the athlete, the competitive one. And, you know, based on my story thus far, you can probably see, yep.
Definitely
pitta. And so I came back and I really wanted to learn more about Ayurveda. And so I signed up for a yoga teacher training thinking, yeah, this is going to teach me about Ayurveda. It really doesn't. That first 230 hour, you learn maybe, you know, 3 hours out of the whole training. So then I since, you know, have kind of dove off into, I decided I like yoga, but Ayurveda is what my passion was. And so once I started learning about that and realizing the pitta dosha in me, the go, go, go getter, and realizing I can actually kind of tame that side of myself. So I'm not tipping myself out of balance and I'm not having the, oh gosh, it's Friday and I've just worked too hard. You know, I'm throwing up in the bathroom. I can counteract that and I can put things into my week that really help me calm that side of myself down. So I feel more balanced. And so I don't have kind of those health issues either. So that's kind of really what took me in that direction. And I've been studying and practicing it now, you know, for 6-7 years. And that changed the way I view life.
Yeah, I can imagine. And now just for, I can't, so many questions. And let me see if I can say this right, but Ayurveda?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What is the difference between that and yoga?
So Ayurveda is kind of called the sister science of yoga often. And so it originated in India over 5,000 years ago. And so it's a whole.
So it's new.
I know. Well, a lot of stuff we've probably heard of, like intermittent fasting. That originated in Ayurveda years ago. Like early, lighter dinners, you know, having something smaller to eat before you go to bed versus that heavy meal. That's one of the staples there. Dry brushing, neti pot. Some of these practices are all Ayurvedic practices that we've kind of maybe seen or heard about in the West. A lot of them are becoming more popular, I think, these last few years because they do work. And that's why, you know, they're slowly coming over here, just seeing, oh, wow, these are a holistic system. It's not just your workouts. It's not just what you're eating, but it is that sleep piece, you know, that lifestyle piece that I think sometimes we forget about.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So that's cool. And then what was your business before? Like when you say you first started your business, what was it?
So I called it Sapphire Training and it was my in-home personal training. And so I was driving to people's homes and I had about 30 one-on-one clients on top of me. Yes, 40 hours.
It's a lot.
So that's where, and I was driving up until this past year, until the pandemic, still to people's homes. And so that gets to be odd when you do a lot of in-home stuff is it's a lot of travel. And being from Minnesota, we have not the best winters always. So then you have that on top of it, driving out in the snowy and icy roads too. So not the best.
Well, in the area you're in, St. Paul, Minneapolis area, the traffic's kind of busy there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's a lot of the early morning, especially for personal training hours, you know, you train usually before people go to work and then after people, you know, get home from work. And so your hours are kind of sporadic. So you could potentially, again, be working that all day and your middle of the day clients might be people who can work from home or retired people. And that's kind of who you might see in the middle, but it is you're kind of always on, you know, and that's, I had many conversations with trainers who are like, because I asked them like, how do you shut down? Like, there's just no rest. Like, cause sometimes, you know, you leave work and you can relax. We would leave, but you can't quite relax. So you're always watching the time because you have your next client in 3 or 4 hours. And so those kind of not necessarily shift work, but it's kind of all day work, but it's very spread out.
Yeah.
So that gets a little bit hard to, you know, manage a lifestyle. And once I have a 5-year-old now, once I had my son, like I realized that was something I was not going to sustain. And so I kind of dropped my evening work hours and just did morning, you know, and I was done by noon. So I kind of had to adapt my lifestyle to fit, you know, what I wanted it to be.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And something you said too, and this is something I've heard other people say on the podcast and just in conversation, you said part of it was you didn't want to spend time alone. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah. So I found that when I first was probably in my mid to late 20s, and it was before I did really a lot of self-development, it was, you know, I did not want to spend or look behind closed doors of like, why don't I want to spend time by myself? And back when I was in high school through college, like, so I also was a cutter for 6 years. So I think there were some emotions there also that I was kind of like, I don't want to deal with some of these things that are hidden. And so I just kind of shoved them down and just kind of, you know, work was my thing. You know, if I'm going to stay busy, let's keep my mind off anything that could be uncomfortable feelings. And so, and I found that with many, I mean, even some of the clients who gravitated towards me, we were finding kind of all in that same, you know, age group, but a lot of us had some of those hidden things. And so that kind of did become therapeutic in a way, you know, for some of my clients became really good friends because you share so much of, you know, when you're doing personal training, you share so much about yourself. And for them to feel comfortable sharing, you know, I would share, hey, this is what my experience was. And that was kind of our healing journey, or that's when I started to say, okay, because some would suggest books. And so that's where I started to go down like, oh, okay, there's some other ways I can look at some of this. And there's other ways to heal besides shoving things in a dark corner.
Yeah. And filling my plate so full, you know, and I think that's common though. I mean, do you see that in your practice as well, that people do that?
Yeah. That's why one of my taglines I like to say is slow down, tune in, because I think for so many years, like I was numbing myself out because I didn't want to. And I do see that, you know, still, and especially this last year, I think for a lot of people, you know, and myself included, like your shadows got pulled out again because you had nothing really. I mean, you were at home and you still had potentially work, but it wasn't the same. You're not seeing people in person. And so that's where some more shadows come out. And so like, how do you deal with them? And I actually signed up for my 500-hour yoga teacher training this last weekend or this last year, because I wanted to. I was like, this is going to help me. I know this is how it helps me heal these practices. And this is a very Ayurvedic focused yoga teacher training. And so I knew like really just diving into what feeds my soul is going to help me get through this year. So like just all of those things to try to like tune in versus, you know, shut the door. I'm going to shut the door again and shove it down.
Yeah. And when you say, Andrea, when you say shadows, the shadows come out, what do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of it, I guess for my, like my shadows, okay, why do I feel the need, you know, why did I feel the need cut in the first place? And it was just, oh, I'm not good enough. Or like, I need to have a perfect body. That was a lot when I'm training, like if you had to look the part and, you know, people, you could see people just like looking and analyzing, you know, oh, should this person be a trainer and all of the things. And I think being in that world for so many years, it is a lot that can be thrown upon you, especially as a, you know, as the trainer, as a female trainer in particular, you know, body image is very big. And when I was pregnant with my son, I remember postpartum, you know, everyone's like, oh, you'll recover great. And oh, you're going to bounce back. And I was like, I had to work hard to lose like 60 pounds that just wouldn't come off. And I just remember like male trainers kind of just like, like who didn't know that I just had a baby. It's a whole just stigma, I think, that doesn't always get spoken about, I think, in the fitness industry. And you have those layers of like, well, who am I if I'm not my body? Because that's what you're told for so many years.
That's right.
I was here right out of college. And so that's where, after so many years of that programming, you know, it's a lot to break and to be like, nope, you know, I am not just my body. This is not just who I am.
Right. Years ago, I was a coach for, it's a program called Girls on the Run.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that program. And part of it is that whole self-esteem thing, because it's like, you can be an athlete and you're an athlete because of the health benefits, because you love it, apart from the body image. And it was so sad to me. I mean, I worked with girls, what were they, third, fourth, and fifth grade girls. As young as third grade, they were having body image issues. And it's like, what are we doing? I mean, that's Like for me, at least it was high school before I started having this third grade. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's kind of heartbreaking.
Well, and that's, I had this conversation because I, one of my focuses is pre-postpartum. And so I was telling a client, she had her grandma and then her husband's grandmother were over seeing their new baby. And the grandmothers who are 85, both of them, were talking. The first thing they told her was how much they weighed when they left the hospital after they had their firstborns and how they could wear their blue jeans and they fit in and they still weigh to this day within 5 pounds of that weight. And these are, you know, 85-year-old women. And so, you know, we were having that conversation and she was just like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be, you know, 85 remembering how much I weigh after I had my baby and having that be something that is a highlight to me. Like to me, there's so much more to life than what I weigh.
Yeah. You know what? I never thought of that before, but what about the birth of your child?
I was thinking about that. I could fit in my jeans.
Oh my goodness. You know, that reminds me when I was recovering, it was, a couple of years into my recovery and I'd gained weight because I spent almost every day in bed for that whole time. I mean, you can't spend that much time in bed without, you know, losing some body muscle, you know, some muscle and gaining some weight. And I remember I was complaining to my doctor. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I lost this. I mean, I gained this weight, blah, 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 blah. Completely being stupid. And her name was Barbara. And she just looked at me and she's like, you know, another way to look at this is that your body needed to do to stay alive. Maybe you could find a way to be grateful for that. And I was like, wow. And I've never forgotten that, you know, because really our body is like, they serve a really important function. Why do we get so hung up in, do I fit this image? But we do.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's where I think some of those, that stuff, you know, that you kind of sit with. And I know there's a lot of people too, who are just like, how do you get out of those wheels that are just constantly turning and spinning? And that's what we're being fed to by media. And that's where it gets tough of like, you know, how can I separate out of this? And I think, like right now I'm on a social media point for the summer. So like, I'm not on Instagram and I don't know. I really don't want to go back. Cause I'm just like, wow, I didn't realize how much it was affecting me until now that I've been off for almost 3 months. And I'm like, just not having that daily, just, oh, what are people doing? But then you often get stuck in your own stories and you start looking at, you know, maybe you intended to look at two people and all of a sudden you're looking at 20 different people. And then you're looking at people you don't even know. And you're like, oh, wow, look how in shape this person is. Or you just start comparing or look at this person's business. I should do this. And, you know, you don't intend to do that, but that's sometimes often what happens if we're not kind of going in with intention. And I've talked to so many women who are like, I've tried to go in with intention. It doesn't end that way for me. And so, you know, really looking at relationships there of, is this serving me? I don't know.
Yeah. But it's a really good question because social media it's so easy to slide into that social comparison, you know, and who really posts the unvarnished truth? I was out cross country skiing this year and we live in a place where we get a lot of tourists and there is this mother and daughter and they were out skiing, you know, and they're taking this picture. It was cross country, you know, skiing. And they took the picture and I was coming up and I'm like, oh, that's going to be on Facebook. You know that, you know? And as soon as the picture was over, they literally started yelling and screaming at each other. They were like fighting. And I'm like, that's not going to be on Facebook. The picture will be, and it's going to look beautiful. Right. But we don't get the whole story.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's where I think those are where the, you know, more shadows can start to come up and, you know, you're kind of like, someone had said, this is my social media life, or this is kind of that shiny veneer. But they're not that person in real life, but it looks good and they have more followers and likes. And so then you're like, you're living two different realities, but often they're getting sucked into the social one, thinking that is the reality of themselves when, you know, everything's shut off. That's not how they feel. So that's where it's tricky too, where, you know, if you're just looking at it, you're like, oh, this person is just amazing. But then you see the, you know, behind closed doors of like crying, eating ice cream, sadness, because they're not going to share that. And then it's hard for us, I think, even though we kind of hear that, we might say, oh yeah, this could be happening. But when you're in there, you're not thinking that. I mean, I never do.
No, you don't think it at all.
Conversations like we're having, be like, yeah, I'm sure that probably is true for some people. But then you just get sucked into the rhythms and you're like, no, they're always happy.
Yeah. As unrealistic as that is, you know, and earlier you said, that it was a coworker who said, this is not okay. Like when you were throwing up every Friday, like you were that sick. Because this, you know, this part of the conversation reminds me about the awareness and everything. When he or she gave you that feedback, was that, how did you receive that feedback?
I mean, I don't think, I did not connect the dots at all, you know, back then. Like I really, it was like, I just assumed, oh, I just must not feel well. But then once it started happening, it was consistent every Friday night before 6 o'clock, before I went onto the field to coach these young kids. And so once it started becoming a pattern, you know, I was like, okay, this is probably not okay. And so that's where, you know, I'm grateful that my boss actually did call me in, you know, because he actually ended up a few years later in a bad health situation because he ignored it, which is ironic because he basically helped me out. And his health situation was 100 times worse, like hospitalized, couldn't move because of the same thing I was doing to myself, like just the push, wow, work 24/7. And so I do see, and I have a lot of clients, you know, in that pitta, in that push, but I always tell people, we can push, we can have that edge, but we also have to have that relaxation, that self-care piece. And everyone's self-care is different based on, you know, what you like. Cause for me, you know, I like to read, I love to go out in nature, you know, I'll just go on this beautiful hike out in my favorite woods, like that's nourishes me, you know, where other clients are like, that's not for me.
I want to go in nature.
Yes. But I love to garden. I just like to go out in my backyard and garden. And that's their thing. You know, it's whatever your thing is. And so I think sometimes, and I've worked with people too, who are like, I don't even know my thing. And that's where I would have been, you know, ask me in my late 20s, what do you like to do for fun? I would have been like,
fun.
Work out, which is kind of part of what I would do, which makes sense because that's part of my job too at the time. So, I mean, the whole thing, I think sometimes you just get stuck in your patterns and you forget like, what do I like to do for fun? And, you know, and some of my moms, you know, that I work with too, like stay-at-home moms sometimes get stuck in the, oh, you know, my kids and I, we go to the museum and then my kids and I like to do this. I'm like, what do you like to do? And then that's where there's also the pause of like, huh, I don't know. Go to Target by myself. And I was like, let's find something else more nourishing than that. And that's sometimes where it gets tricky of like, all right, I got to sit down just by myself and brainstorm ideas of what is it that, you know, fulfills me.
Yeah. I don't know how your clients feel about it, but I remember the first time I was asked that, it was by a coach. I was in my late 20s. What do you like to do for fun? I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, really? And then it was like, okay, so if you had time by yourself, you know, what would you do that would be nourishing or nurturing? And again, I had no answer. And not only did I not have an answer, it was kind of a scary question. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do you help? Because I love the idea of the pitta and taming that side, you know, what you're talking about. How do you help people, you know, first of all, start by answering that question, you know, what is relaxing or nourishing, nurturing for them?
Yeah. So I'll say, I mean, right now I have quite a few clients. They have kind of their three buckets in terms of, you know, their work. That's bucket one. Like they're pretty high up in companies. They work hard. Mm-hmm. Their moms, you know, they got their kiddos. They also are married. So they have their partner. And then, you know, a lot of them, like this fourth bucket of like, what do I do for myself? And sometimes it's like workouts. And so like that is there for fun. And I'm like, how about we find something else that you can just do? And to connect the dots, I have found it isn't always easy. I've had a few who had, like right now I have clients dealing with some concussion stuff.
Ooh.
They're not happening. They're happening. The doctor actually had told her, you know, this is happening because you've burnt yourself out. Like she has went too far in the pitta. Like she's having accidents that are happening because she's doing too much. Like it's just go, go, go. And so it's stuff like that where now she is realizing like kind of she hit that wall and she's like, I got to fix this. Like, this is too much. Like my brain is now being affected. And you know, like what is the rest of my life going to look like? And so I try to get there before that point happens. And unfortunately sometimes, and a lot of the women I work with are, you know, mid 30s to about mid 40s when some of this stuff starts to happen, or you're starting to be like, okay, whoa, like I can't push like I used to. It's not well in my body anymore. And so trying to connect the dots before that happens is sometimes even just sharing other people's stories, like, hey, this is what's happened. this is what I've seen happen. And sometimes that actually is an eye opener for some. They're like, okay, like I don't want that to be. And I do see myself on that same trend. Like I am that same person that you're describing. And sometimes just saying, can you just carve out like an hour on a Saturday morning, you know, for yourself, don't plan anything, you know, and sometimes people just need to rest, like yoga nidra. I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
It's like it's a yogic sleep, we call it, but it's one that I really like for people to just kind of restore and replenish themselves. And so basically you can, you know, Google or go on YouTube and find a yoga nidra practice. And it's like a 20-minute thing. Someone will walk you through it and you lie down, you close your eyes. You can put like an eye pillow on if you want, or put something over your eyes and, you know, you cover up and you just relax. So it's kind of like a meditation. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit deeper. Like you go a little bit deeper than that. And it's a true restorative practice. And I like to do that just because people can kind of really feel that rest. Cause a lot of the people I work with are just, they're overworked and overstressed. And so doing, you know, let's go out and do one more thing, or let's go outside of the house and do something. How about we just come down, you know, to a floor. Like for me, it's, you know, my office here, and, you know, come down and just do something, you know, restful for you. And then sometimes that starts to open doors, because then spending that quiet time, all of a sudden things start to come in like, oh, you should do XYZ again. Or, hey, remember you used to love dance when you were a kid. You should sign up for a dance class again. Little things like that start to, you know, pop in people's heads. And that's where they start to see, oh, I've been really missing this in my life and didn't realize it until I slowed down.
Yeah. When you were talking, what that reminds me of, and I don't, this has been on my mind so much recently, the lack of margin that most of us operate at. You know, we're always at that red line. And I think what you're saying there, Andrea, is like when we actually create that space, then it's like, oh, I used to like to do this, or, you know, whatever, or maybe there's a new possibility. But I think without margin, it's really hard to be, I don't know, to discover those things, to be open to those things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Cause that's often where the magic, I always say, is that's why I like to go out in the woods. And I don't take my phone. I don't take my AirPods. I just walk. And that's mm-hmm. when I, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is an idea. Oh, this is great. Or, or sometimes there's just stillness, which is always the sweet spot. Like I'll get to a spot. Usually if I go for a long bike ride in these woods, you know, it's the first, I always find the first 5 or 6 miles is like chatter, chatter, chatter in my head. And then all of a sudden I get to a spot where I didn't even realize, I'm like, oh, I've already biked 10 miles and there was no chatter. It was just me being. And that's kind of the sweet spot. And I always kind of can see where I'm at based on how many miles I bike before the quietness comes. And that's the spot that I think is the magic piece that, you know, and you can also tell, or I can tell, and I'm sure most people probably could relate of, okay, I went the whole, maybe a 20-mile bike ride. And if you were chattering for 18 miles of it, okay, I got to slow down. There's something in my life that's calling me to slow down, because there's something here. We call it the Vata dosha, of like the wind element. We got a lot going on and we need to ground down, because in Ayurveda, the Vata is what pushes like disease into the body. And that's when you can have major, you know, it's just like the person who is talking on their phone and, you know, they're like, shoot, I got to get my phone. I got my keys, but I can't find my phone. And your friend's like, you're talking
you're on the phone.
And so that's kind of that Vata dosha, where you can just get all over and, you know, out of your head when you're just kind of scattered. And so how can you ground back down? And that's kind of when I'll know, oh, I need some more quiet time, because, or I've taken on too much. Maybe I took on one too many work projects, or maybe I haven't had enough meditation time in the morning. What do I need to do to kind of calm this down?
Yeah, man, it's fascinating what we do to ourselves, you know, and earlier you had said with the pitta, I'm saying that right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That you can have you, what'd you say? You can still push, but you can have the balance. Cause I think a lot of times people think it's an either or, you know, can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah. I had, probably now a few years ago, I did a podcast episode that had quite a few downloads related to this, in terms of like, can you push without losing your edge? Because I think a lot of the times the pittas, like, you know, being, and I was a 3-sport athlete in high school and college, like we like to push, like, you know, running your own business, most people have a little bit of pitta in them. They like to push. They like a challenge. But then sometimes you're like, well, if I stop doing that pushing, if I stop reaching towards goals, am I going to just crumble? Will my business crumble? Will I, you know, if you're an athlete, like you have to have that competitive edge or you're going to lose, you know, like you're kind of like, how can I find that balance? And I think everyone's balance is a little bit different. I'll give an example of a client just last week where we were working on this balance with her, because she was saying she's a pitta, she runs her own business. And she was like, yeah, I feel like my business is fine. Like it's doing great. You know, it's kind of all automated, but I'm missing a challenge. And I was like, okay. So, And she's like, but I don't want to blow up my business. And I'm like, yes. So let's see, how else can we add that challenge into your life? Let's not look at it from your business standpoint. You know, can you bring in a challenge in a new way? Like, would you like to go to a more intense workout class where you're competing against others to have that challenge brought up? So, you know, how else can we bring in the challenge if you're feeling like you're kind of flat? So that's where we kind of balance it with like, maybe this area feels a little flat or it's fine, but you want that challenge. Let's put in a challenge, but let's not put a challenge to 5 areas in your life, because that also tends to be the pit to where, well, let me do a challenge, but let me also do this business challenge and do the hard workout and do this challenge. And then you start to bring up the imbalances. And so just finding what that challenge looks like and just sticking to one, not 20.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that question, you know, what happens if I stop pushing? You know, because I think for a lot of us, we can think, well, I've been successful because of my ability to push through and that type of thing. So is that something that are people kind of resistant to, or are they, I don't know, fearful? That's probably too strong of a word, but is there some resistance there that they sometimes have?
Yeah. And I will say for myself, like I need to have some sort of push, because I've done this to myself twice where I just stop pushing. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it does start to go. And I tip into, we call it, the last one is the kapha dosha. And I can feel that swing. And so For me, I don't resonate as much just because I have the least amount of that in my constitution of kapha. And so I feel really out of balance if I don't have some sort of push. And so what I've found in working with a lot of pitta women is we need to have some sort of push. And so I don't like to take away all push, because otherwise it does tend to deflate people and they don't feel like themselves. And then like depression, just those heavy feelings start to come in when all what they really need is just give me back that challenge of some sort. So that's where, and this is where everyone's constitution or, you know, personality is a little bit different. And so kind of knowing where to work, you know, how much challenge to give to someone. Like I wouldn't do that if someone actually is a kapha dosha, if that's their prakriti and that's what they were born with, that's not going to fuel them. Like a challenge to them is going to be like someone listening might be like, oh, that is no, I don't resonate with challenge at all. That might be where they're at. And I would not motivate them with a challenge because that will defeat them. They're not going to be excited about that. And so that's kind of where you work a little bit with different personalities. And you know, people usually see themselves in one of those three areas. And that's where we find everyone has their own unique balance in there. So like that kapha is usually your Mother Earth energy. They're your warm, like I've given a yoga teacher a hug after class one day. I just like, I don't know, I just need to give you a hug. Like that's your like kapha energy. Your pittas are a little bit more fiery. They're the, you know, CEOs or the go-getters. And then the vatas tend to be those creative people. They have tons of ideas. They're artistic and they have just a lot of like, oh, we should do this idea. They might be like the friend who gets things together because they have different, you know, fun activities they want to do. And so you can kind of have those different personality types and different, again, those constitutions. And that's where each one is driven, you know, by different things.
Yeah. I love that too, because what I was thinking about when you were talking there too, is it's like permission that it's okay. So if you're the type of person that you need the challenge, you've probably heard this in your life. I know I have. It's like, why can't you just relax? This is me relaxed. And there's usually a lot of judgment with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Well, and there were like a pitta or personality like that is, you know, just as you said, they're relaxed is a different, like if you're a kapha and you're looking at someone who's like, relax, you're like, this is relaxed. Kaphas have a way different relaxed version.
Yeah.
You know, my husband is a kapha. He is way more like, I can just lay on the couch and watch TV for hours on an end. And for me, I'm like, nope, I could do it maybe for give myself an hour. And then I've got to go do something. And not for like the sake of like to do, but like, I feel better if I'm just out
yeah.
and active and more moving around. And so that's kind of where you have those little ways to kind of motivate and to not feel bad, because this is probably innately who you are.
Yeah. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
okay. What a wonderful permission, right? It's okay.
Yes.
How do you help people determine their, or is it intuitive? Do they know their personality?
So there's dosha quizzes that you could take online. And so you can take that. I have one on my website too, right on the homepage. And so it's just, you know, find out your dosha. And then other than that, like if you go to an Ayurvedic, you know, wellness counselor or doctor, you know, we can kind of help you out there too. Cause usually I have like a 20-page intake form that I take people through, and I can kind of pick up after 5-10 minutes of talking with someone. I can already get, yeah. I think this is might be where you're at. And you have a property, which is what you're born. You also have a vikriti, which is what could be going on. So let's say I'm a pitta. That doesn't mean that I can't get out of balance in my vata or kapha. I can. And so I might be a pitta, but I might have to work with my vata. And when I get all spacey all over, I jump from project to project, I have trouble focusing. That would be the vata needs my help. Where again, the kapha, I was treating that over the pandemic just because I felt like the low, the slow, the lack of motivation. So I was like, okay, I got to get my pitta up and going again. And so that's kind of where you can kind of see, like, even though you might be this one prakriti, you still can go out of balance in any of the three.
Wow. That's cool.
That's, that's where the Ayurvedic medicine come into play. Cause then it's, you know, that's where your diet, your workouts, your lifestyle, your sleep, all of those things come into play of like where, what is best for you based on what's going on. And yeah. just if anyone goes on Pinterest, there's tons of different stuff on Pinterest, and you could get overwhelmed by all of the, oh, I'm a pitta, I shouldn't eat this, or I should only be eating these foods. I don't like to look at it like that, because one, you know, if we look at it like I'm a pitta, you know, let's say that you're a pitta, but you're out of balance in your vata and you're going to follow the pitta guidelines. That's not going to help you, you know? And so that's where the thing comes into play of just really knowing yourself and understanding, you know, where you're at. And that's where Ayurveda can be tricky. That's where I think someone helping guide you or, you know, going to some basic training just so you can kind of understand how to implement it into your life.
Yeah. Cause it seems like on one hand, it seems straightforward, and yet I can see all the different layers in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I wanted to talk about because you said it earlier, the slow down and tune in. And I think we've kind of touched on it a little bit. Anything else that you would recommend? Because I think that's something, I don't care what our personality is. I kind of think we might need that. What are some suggestions for people in terms of slowing down and tuning in?
So I like to say, like, you know, your daily practices are your medicine. And so what are you doing, you know, on a daily basis and really looking at your daily routines? And so what does your morning look like? How do you start your day? If you're not used to tuning in, like that can be a great starter point of just saying, hey, I'm going to devote 10 minutes, you know, drinking my coffee and just sit in stillness and just check in with myself. Like, how am I feeling today? You know, that could be a great just starter. And then having room to pause in your day at some point. I like to have a transition time for people if they're out. Well, again, some people might be at home still working, some people away from, you know, at their offices, or even stay-at-home moms. What we can do is we can have that like, I'm done. Although technically stay-at-home mom and mom, you're never necessarily done, but giving yourself like, okay, it's 4:00. That's my time. I'm going to take 5 minutes and just do some deep breathing. And I've had people do this where they transition from work. They'll park in their car, either in their driveway, but if their kids are all going to come, you know, running out, then they'll park down the street and just take 5 minutes to be like, okay, I'm done working. I'm closing my work hours. Like, I'm leaving work Andrea behind and I'm coming into like home Andrea, you know, however you want to do that transitional piece, but some time to really pause and just kind of give yourself that space. And the same thing, you know, I have one of my best friends, she's a stay-at-home mom, and just, you know, I was teaching her how to have these intentional time with herself, you know, and she was like, well, I'm always at home with them. Like, but you can still have that time where you're not like, okay, we're done doing the schoolwork. Cause you know, she'll do some schoolwork with them. I'm like, now you're into like, okay, evening hours, like you're going to be cooking. Can you have them doing an activity? And you just give yourself 5 minutes for that transitional piece of you're settling down to your evening hours. And so just little ways to incorporate that, you know, no matter what your schedule looks like, to kind of relax the body and transition. Like, all right, now we're going into this time of the day. And then looking at your meals, you know, your daily practices, a lot of the time too, is this nourishing me? I like to look at food as nourishment versus, you know, in a pinch, is something fast on the go, or can I plan ahead just a little bit? So I have something, you know, where I can make it. Like, I always have a list. When my son was really young, I had a list of like go-to recipes that I could make on my fridge. So that way, you know, I didn't have any brain power left when he was little, but I was like, oh, I can make this. I always have quinoa. I always have like frozen veggies. I always have XYZ. I can throw together one pot meal, boom. And so little things like that to kind of prep for those days where, you know, things might not have went the way that you wanted.
Yeah.
So those are some just brief ones. And then nourishing your body too. I always like to look at workouts that really fuel you versus, you know, as we talked about earlier with the body image, I think a lot of us came into working out, I want to look a certain way, you know, by the end of this workout, instead of being, is this actually something I enjoy doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, is this something that, like, I started tennis lessons, which I played tennis in college, but they had these advanced lessons. And I told my husband, I'm like, okay, can you take, you know, our son on Thursday nights? I really want to play in these tennis league and just, you know, hit again. And that's some way to nourish, you know, my body in a way that I love. And so sometimes thinking outside of the box of like, how can I like do something that isn't, you know, running on the treadmill for hours on end or something that you don't really enjoy doing, but you feel like you have to do, you know, how can you really reframe things?
Yeah. I was listening to someone and I don't remember who it was, but he was talking about like when we were kids, we didn't work out. We went outside and we played. We had fun. And I was thinking about like, I love cross country skiing. That is my thing. I also like road cycling, but I really love cross country skiing. And that's why we live here, because we have so many great months of it. And it is one of the best workouts you can do. And yet I'm not doing it to work out. I'm doing it because I love it. I love being out there. I love being in the snow. Even when I fall going down a hill, that's challenging. You know, once I get back up on my skis, then I love it again, but it's just fun.
Yes.
You know, and I think as adults, sometimes we forget it can be fun.
Yes. Yeah. Like I was just looking at tap dancing lessons.
So oh man.
Now that things are opening up here again, and that's where I was going to do this before, you know, 2020 happened. So I was like, well, let me just see if they're still doing lessons. Why not? Like I have a day of tennis, a day of dance. Like how fun is
this? Oh my God.
You know, rather than the structured, like, oh, this, you know, I have to get in this many hours. And you know, that to a lot of people is just not, it's not fun, you know? So how can we make it fun? And, you know, as we talked earlier, like I'm from a farm and I have my grandparents. So I had two just passed away at the age of 96 and 97.
Oh.
Then one is she's 95. None of them worked out. You know, they're all farmers, like ever. Like, and she, you know, I tried to get my grandma to do something and she was like, oh, probably not, you know? Yeah. And this is just, it's interesting where, you know, we've kind of fallen away from like, she just heard what she did, like her daily medicine was her daily practices of just going out in the farm, gardening, you know, walked everywhere. And, you know, just some of those things that we, you know, just are like, oh, those don't count. You know, everything has to count, or it's not on my step, or I didn't get my heart rate high enough. And like, to me, some of those things are detrimental to, I think, you know, reaching goals of just constantly being plugged into our stats. When, you know, I had a person ask me, at a country club and I was doing some like lessons over there. And they're like, well, how will I know how many calories I burned and how much food I should eat for the day if I don't have my heart rate or my calculator on? And I'm just like, man, is this the way that you want to live your life? You know, by so like trust aid, those aren't always accurate, but B, I'm like, that's just seems very, you know, dogmatic way to just to live and just not fun.
Yeah.
And so just kind of releasing some of those things and getting back into like, what is nourishing to me?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes like turn the bike computer off, you know, who cares if I'm not as fast today, or sometimes I have a setting where I can turn it where it's on, but I don't see it when I'm riding. And I have more fun on the days when I'm not like, oh, what's my speed? What's my heart rate? And you know what? They're all about the same anyway.
I've had that same thing with the pizza women I work with. Sometimes that is, that tips them over the edge.
Yeah.
And so I've had one who had a Peloton and she was just competing and, you know, she was, you know, in her 50s and she was like, I got to beat this 20-year-old. Cause on their name, it said they were 20. So she's trying to compete against them. And I'm like, this is tipping you way out of balance. I'm like, this, why? So then, you know, if you are listening, that can happen because she took her thing off. So she can't see her ranking anymore. And that helps her keep in balance and she enjoys it more because she's not trying to, you know, work out way harder than she needs to be. And it's just, okay, like I'm doing this for me again, not to compete against someone, you know, who's 30 years younger than me, just because I feel like I should again do that when we don't have to should anything.
That's right. Except get rid of the shoulds.
Yes.
That's the one thing we should do is get rid of them. Oh my goodness. So this has been, oh my God, there's been so much great stuff in here. How can people learn more about you? And I think that you had, what is it? A 5-day challenge or something. So do you want to speak to those things?
Yeah. So my website has all of the things that, you know, we talked about today in more depth, AndreaClausen.com. So it's just my name. And then on there, if you scroll to the bottom of my homepage, I have a 5-day Ayurvedic toolkit. And so it's kind of like a nice way for you to just get introduced to Ayurveda. And so you get all 5 days at once, but it's a nice way to kind of map out like, okay, day one, I'm going to learn this Ayurvedic practice and a way to kind of implement it into your life, no matter your dosha. And there's also a dosha quiz on my homepage. If you're curious, like, oh, I wonder what dosha I am. And then I give you tips based on your dosha, like just in general, here are some guidelines that might help you stay in balance.
Very cool. I might take that quiz. I think I know, but you know, just to see, I love those kind of things though. So that's awesome. Andrea, thank you so much for being here and congratulations on your story, for making the changes and for helping other people on the same path.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Bobby, for having me on today. It was a wonderful chat.
There was a lot in that conversation that really resonated for me. I hope that you had plenty of takeaways as well. Here are my 3 insights for thriving. Number 1, we have to have the space for awareness and possibilities to emerge. Just like Andrea was so caught up in her daily rush that she was missing the warning signs that her body was trying to give her. It took a coworker pointing out that throwing up every Friday night probably wasn't normal. And it sounds so obvious when it is happening to someone else or when we tune in, you know, late into the story. But sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it creeps up on you. Number 2, for the type A or Pitta personalities, it is okay that you want or you crave some challenge. Then it becomes not about, well, how do I stop pushing or how do I become more relaxed, but how can I balance it? I've been accused of being a type A personality many times in my life, and I suppose it's true. And 2 things that really hit me. Number 1, it's okay. It's actually not a character flaw, and neither is being relaxed. All the styles, all the personalities are okay. What a powerful notion that we're okay. And 2, I really connected with that trepidation that sometimes we have around what happens if I stop pushing, right? If I think that a lot of my success is because of the way that I've been able to push or achieve or challenge myself, it's scary to think about letting that go. So again, it's not a yes or no, it's how do I balance it? And finally, number 3, I absolutely loved when Andrea said that your daily practices are your medicine. So with that in mind, are our daily practices feeding us, nourishing us, or are they depleting us? I'm so glad and so grateful that you tuned in for this episode. And I hope that you walked away with some inspiration and insights that will help you on your journey. If you did, please share it with a friend, a loved one, or a colleague, someone that you think could really benefit from hearing it. That helps us with our mission here at Unyielded, which is to provide hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all thrive and flourish if we choose.